Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So glad to meet again with this great, illustrious Family Church School class, all the travelers, all the minglers. Today we're going to have a lesson for you out of the book of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. The authors have entitled our lesson, Habakkuk Praises God's Faithfulness. And actually, the unit two deals with the faithful prophecy, the faithful prophesying of various servants. And today we're going to look at Habakkuk. It is very easy to get disheartened when you're going through tough times. And it seems that at every point, every phase in our life, there is some moment, some circumstance that causes us to become weary because we feel oppressed and repressed by circumstances and times. Today's lesson reminds us that though times get hard, and you get weary, God is still on the throne. And that no matter what you're going through, in your darkest hour, when you don't know what to do, Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, stops by to tell us, whenever you're pressed, oppressed, depressed, suppressed, seemingly regressing, call on God. Speak to God and request that he speak to you. The prophet Habakkuk, Steve, is unusual because He reminds us that all you holy rollers who think you really got it going on and everything is right in your life and that, you know, you're just waiting on heaven. Habakkuk stops by to tell us that there are going to be times in your life, if there have not already been, that you just won't understand what God is up to. And so Habakkuk says, if you would just listen to me, I'll share with you what you can do when times are really tough and you really don't understand. If we don't understand how to make a cake, Sister Pillow, we go and find a recipe book. We Google it. We're going to find out how to make that cake because we don't understand. Well, how do you get an upside down pineapple cake? How do you do that? You have a question? Ask it. And Habakkuk says, if you can ask a book, if you can ask Google, you certainly can ask God any question. See, because many of us think that it's not cool to ask God questions. Habakkuk says that's not true. Habakkuk opens up in chapter one and he says, I don't understand. God, I don't understand how it is that you can be persecuting your people with your people's enemy. I don't know how you could use the Chaldeans. I don't know how you could use these miscreants, some of the worst, fierce people on earth. How can you use them? That's what he asked for it. He says, how? I mean, he went straight to the throne of God, stared God in his face and asked the question, is this right? How can a righteous God use the enemy of God to punish God's people? Habakkuk had one of those, what I call, I'm not going to call it, I'm going to call it a cognitive dissonant moment. He forgot momentarily throughout all the pain, because that's what happens when you're in dire circumstances. The pain makes you forget sometimes. But Habakkuk here says, God, I don't understand it. And you know what? When you get to chapter 2 and verse 1, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to the watchtower. Now, I'm not talking about the Jehovah Witness magazine. We're talking about the watchtower, the tower that was set up to that people would stand on the wall and warn of impending danger. He says, I'm going there, and Lord, I'm going to wait for you to answer the questions that I put, because I got questions. Would you please answer? Now, you can answer anytime you get ready. I'll be right there, and I'll be waiting. Verse 1.
All right. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved.
I'll be on that tower. And when God has answered me sufficiently, I've got to think about the response that I'm going to have to the question that I asked. At no time, Sister Randall, do you see Habakkuk doubting the fact that God wouldn't answer. He just didn't know when he would answer. And that's what we've got to remember when we're going through things. Many of the things that we pray for and we call on God for and we don't understand, instead of trying to figure out for ourselves, instead of trying to get in our little huddles and in our classrooms and on our small groups and on our jobs and with our best friends, God reminds us that you can come to him. You know why? He's got the answer. Deacon Harmon doesn't have the answers. James Bogan doesn't have the answers. I guarantee you, Paulette Lovelace does not have the answer. Dolores Ogletree does not have the answer. But I tell you who does, God. God has the answer. And so go to him. And so Habakkuk says, this is what you do when you're in trouble, when you're in misery, when you're hurting so bad you don't even know how you're hurting. You go to God and ask, God, why? I'll be right here waiting for you to answer me, because it doesn't make any sense that your people that are called by your name, are being punished by these Chaldeans. Sister Lovelace, verse 2, what did God say?
And the Lord answered me and said,
what did he say?
Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may one that readeth it.
The Lord says, Habakkuk? Oh, wait a minute. I know what. Y'all want to personalize this. The Lord says, Paulette? The Lord said, Robert? The Lord said, Monty? The Lord said, Dolores? Go tell them this. And I want you to write it so that it will have impact, lasting impact. I want you to write it, and I want you to make it plain upon the tables that he that may run that readeth it. He didn't say that they would run away. It says that when they have read the vision, when they have seen the vision, when they have been given the information that is from God himself, they will run with it. They'll go tell somebody else. And so now you won't have no questions. He says, I want you to write it down I want you to make it plain. And you know what? He says, not only do I want you to make it plain, I want you to make it practical. I want the word out there clearly. And too many times, we are not addressing the issues of life, the circumstances that we're in, Sister Pillar, simply because we are not saying what thus says the Lord. So he says, I'm going to tell you what, I'm not even going to trust that they will remember what you said, that I said. I want you to write it down. Make it clear so it'll be impactful. And if it's impactful, it'll be practical. Sister Lovelace?
For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Habakkuk, through God, through Habakkuk, is telling us that if you just tell the world what God has said, will, if you just tell the world the truth, don't rely on the truth of man. Don't rely on the truth of political parties. Don't rely on the truth of your partners. Rely on the word of God. And he says that if what I'm telling you, you may not see the results immediately because it's for an appointed time. It's for a time that I know. Some of your circumstances, some of your hardships are not going to come, are not going to be resolved overnight. Instantly. But God says this particular word is for a time. It's like grandmama used to say, we'll know better by and by. And here Habakkuk says that it speaks to us, but for us. It says there's an audience here, but it's for you and I. It's for you and I today who are going through some things, and we just don't understand why things happen. Why is it that, you know, we just got over this, and you know, we had some freedom. Well, why we got mass now? Why we got to go back in church in mass? You know, why we were getting ready to start meeting again. Why this, Lord? Because God is in charge. You don't run ahead of his schedule. He says his word will be there. The tough times that you're going through, there's a resolution. And at an appointed time, it'll make more sense. But meanwhile, don't stop your questions. If you don't understand, go to God and ask. And he will answer just as he did Habakkuk. And that answer is, no? Yes? He's got an answer to your questions. And Habakkuk here is showing us, saying that it's all right to have questions. It's all right to be so downtrodden with burdens of the day, the circumstances of the day, that you just don't understand. You don't understand what's happening. Why are people so mean? Anybody understand that? If you go in the word of God, you know why people are mean and nasty and hateful. Because it's their proclivity. Because they are sinners. Because there ain't none of you righteous. All you gotta have is one unrighteous person in any circumstance, and anything is subject to happen. You wonder why people cannot try to resolve how to stop mass shootings and all that sort of thing. People who don't know God don't know the solution. It's not that they don't want to, trust me. One of the basic instincts of humanity is self-preservation. It's just that they don't know God. And we don't take our issues to God and let God handle. We try to handle it on our own. We try to act like we know the answer. And God is saying to Habakkuk, there's some things you're not just going to know right away. And you'll keep having the questions and you keep asking me. And I've got an answer. And I've got a solution. But it's not at this time. Sister Lovelace, read through 5 for me, through verse 5.
Behold, verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied. But gather it unto him all nations, and heap it unto him all people.
I told you God would answer. He answered his question. See, you have to go back to chapter 1 to find out, you know, the full context of his questions. But basically, his question was, how is it that these Chaldeans, you can use these Chaldeans to discipline your people? Well, first of all, God is God. He's sovereign. He can do anything he wants to do. And don't think because some evil men and women are now seemingly prevailing in these circumstances that God there's something must be wrong that God can use these people who don't love God, who don't know God, that they can use God to rule over his people, to punish his people. And God says, first of all, let me tell you one thing. He says, his soul is lifted up, is not upright in him. He says, but the just, you people, you people in Family Church School at Resurrection Baptist Church and The Rock, you're just, so you need to live by faith. He's saying, don't worry about what's going on in the world. Don't worry about what you're seeing happening. The just will always live by faith. So in other words, he says, have all the questions you want. Sister Hollis, do you hear me? Have all the questions you want, but don't ever doubt God. Trust him. Because the just will live by faith. That's the preamble to the question, specific question. He says, everything I'm about to say, you've got to remember. You've got to trust me. But in verse 5, he says, these Chaldeans, I'll just hurry it up. It's for Fred. He's traveling. He's got to go. So I'll summarize it for Fred. He says, these Chaldeans, they're a bunch of drunkards. They believe in the bottle. They drink the skull, and they're proud and arrogant. Yes, I'm using them. You have named them right. He says, but you got to understand, these folk are drinking and priding themselves into the very pit of hell because their desire to overrule other folk is just like an insatiable appetite of hell. Oh, y'all got to hear this. Hell, Sheol, the place of death. These folk are just like death, and death just keeps on coming. It has an insatiable appetite. And these Chaldeans, these drunkards, these ones that imbibe in the fruit of the vine, these folk who are very proud and arrogant, these folk who are really thugs, they're spiritual thugs, some of the worst folk who have ever lived on earth. Yes, I'm using them to discipline you. They will come against you just because of what I've got in store for them, because I know who they are. Don't ever think, Habakkuk, that I don't know who I'm dealing with. So when you're going through a repressive situation, something that's just got you down, know one thing. God says, first of all, you got to trust him. He knows all about your troubles. He knows all about your sorrows. He knows about everything and everyone that is hurting you. He knows every stumbling block that he knows the character and the nature of it. And he uses those things because he's a sovereign God and he does exactly what he wants to. Some of this stuff that's been brought into our lives is not because of the Chaldeans and their insatiable appetite. God says, I'm just using them to show you that the just live by faith and that sin will be punished. It doesn't matter who does it. I'm not as bad as them, so they shouldn't be used to discipline me for God. God tells Habakkuk, think about that. Don't you know that I know these people? And I've got something for them. Yeah, I'm going to use them. I will use them as an instrument. Yes, yes, I know. They're not righteous. They're not just, so they're not living. They're not trusting me. They're trusting in their own power, their own greed, their own desire. And you know what's so interesting about this? Before we go to chapter 3, 17, is that when he was sharing this with Habakkuk, Habakkuk had no idea what would happen. But remember, Sister Randall, he told him that this vision is for an appointed time. So in other words, some of the conclusion, some of the fruition would come at an appointed time. Deacon Newsom, do you know that this same bunch of Chaldeans, Babylonian Empire, when it fell while they were given one of those drunken orgy parties. What a mighty God we serve. Just like God had told Habakkuk, it would. See, things seem difficult now, and you don't see the way. But God is plotting the way all along. And we've got a hold to the vision, to the word that Habakkuk received, and that is, you've got to tell everybody about God and his sovereign control and that you can trust him no matter what your circumstances are. Fast forward to chapter 3, starting in verse 17. Sister Lovelace?
Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls.
Very interesting. God just told Habakkuk about the Chaldeans and their nature. But notice, Brother Bogan, he did not dismiss what he already told Habakkuk in chapter 1. What was going to happen? He's saying that your circumstances after getting your questions answered may get worse. Your pockets may be filled with oil. Price gases may go up instead of coming down. You know, food prices may go up. family relationships may deteriorate. Health may deteriorate. Even after you get your answers. Even after God has told you, just trust me. I got this. Some of your trials are not going to go away overnight. As a matter of fact, things might get worse. But in verse 18, y'all didn't hear. In verse 18, because Sister Paulette is going to read it.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
Sister Lovelace. Yes. Did you say yet?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Sister Lovelace, I want to make sure that I heard it right. Okay, you heard yet? That's a heavy word. That's what we call a condensed version of a word. Because we could put a longer word there, Deacon Harmon. We could put a longer word there. But God is so powerful in conveying the idea that he wants to convey at this point. He says, I'm going to use the shortest form to get your attention. Yeah. Oh, I'm going through. I'm hurting on every side. You know, I just lost my brother, and then I lost another brother. I just lost a brother, and I lost a friend. I just lost an aunt. I just lost a grandmother. I just lost a sister. Yeah, I just filed bankruptcy. Sister Lovelace, if you can. Please read, if you can.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Do y'all understand why Deacon Richardson comes on every day in any circumstances? He starts out with, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I know things are bad, but this day, God has given me another day and I can rejoice. I don't rejoice about the circumstances, but I rejoice in the Lord. You're not psycho. I mean, you're not perverse. You don't run, oh, I'm so glad I'm hurting, you know. No, you rejoice that God is still there. And God tells Habakkuk, no matter what you're going through, when you don't see one fig blossom, when you don't get not one yield from the field, when you don't get one pay raise, when you lose your job, yet you can rejoice in God. Because he, God, Jehovah, is the God of my salvation. That no matter what happens to me on this side of Jordan, God's got it. So he says in verse 4, behold, the just shall live by faith. And then in 17, he says, you not only live by faith, but you rejoice in that faith because of what God has already done for you, what God has saved you from. In other words, you take your focus off your problems and you put it on the God of your salvation. That's how the just live by faith. That's what you do when you're in dire straits. That's what you do when your world has been turned upside down. You trust God. Habakkuk says, yeah, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then he goes on to say, Sister Paulette,
the Lord God is my strength.
Hold up. Did you hear that? Did you hear Sister Lovelace? She says, in your weakest moments, in your most dire moments, when you are so weak, you can't lift your head, God is your strength. So it says, no matter how weak I am, I'm made strong. Because I'm not relying on my own strength. I'm embracing the strength of God who gave me life. He is my strength. Sister Lovelace?
The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer of my stringed instruments.
Now that's a lot of illusion there. But let me tell you, it paints the picture of your situations are like big mountains. And you know, there's an animal that climbs, that dwells in mountains, high tops, and he's able to navigate those high places, steep mountains, because of his, what we call hind feet. Because he's specially equipped to deal with the high mountains. Oh, y'all don't hear that. Bogan, you don't hear it. I know, because ain't nobody shouting. Not only are you strong enough to climb the mountain using God's strength, God equips you with the tools to navigate the rough places of the mountain. The tough times that you're going through, God says, lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be more than a friend. Because a friend can just, with their weakness, try to help you. But God says, I'm strong enough to hold you and help you. I can hold you and I can sturdy your feet so that you can navigate these circumstances. So you can navigate anything that is bothering you. He says, the just shall live by faith. But because you're just, doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. Don't mean that you won't go through things. But when you go through it, you can remember that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that God is your strength. The same one who saved you is able to sustain you. The same one who made you can help you in any aspect of your life because he knows you. And he knows the circumstances that surround you. And that God will get us through this, that God will navigate if we just trust him. And he says, you will walk in places that most folks said, poor Randall, you'll never be able to navigate that. You think about over your life, the obstacles that were placed in your life, that it seemed like, nope, this is it. Ah, I remember med school? You didn't even think you were gonna get in. Remember, you didn't think you were gonna get certified. You think it was your strength? You're thinking you're the one that got the promotion? God put you in jobs? Oh, if we could unmic and just share. Just people that I know. And I know you know more people than I know on this Zoom call. Where God has strategically placed them in high places and equipped them. And people say, ain't no way he can get that job. I don't have a resume for that. Oh, no way in the world he can live in that community. You know, you got to have the ends, the funds. Oh, no, no way in the world he could ever see these places. God got you seeing all these high places. When you thought it was an obstacle years ago, I'll never be able to do this. Sure wish I could afford to do this. Ah, you trust God. This is a momentary obstacle. And he says that to the chief singer on my stranger's instruments. It's just a lament of praise and celebration now. See, once God has clearly talked to you and answered your questions, Habakkuk says, there ain't nothing else to do but to go tell somebody else. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else to do. And the reason why you go through some things is so that you can share it with other folk. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I had that issue. Yeah, I once was broke, so broke I couldn't even pay attention. You know, I've been there. I feel you. You hide from the mortgage hunters. You know, I've been there. So down and out. You know, you're ashamed to even pray, scared to pray. You got to share those experiences. Habakkuk says, I had a question. I went to my God for answers. I prepared myself on the watchtower for his response. His response was really in line with who I knew God really was. His response was, let me be God and let me do things my way because I'm sovereign God. All you have to do is trust me. And when you trust me, you will see the fruits of your trust. You will go places. You will overcome circumstances that you thought that would be perilous for you. Habakkuk then praises God for God's faithfulness, as a good prophet should do, as a good family church school student should do. Go tell somebody. God's got this. He's in control. Just trust him and you'll see. See you guys in church. Have a great day.